It's time to join our American family Robinson again in Centerville. In our last program, Editor Luke and Mrs. Robinson became seriously worried over the lover's spat between Windy Bill and Miss Timmons. The Robinsons had just begun planning to make use of the room now occupied by Windy, and looking forward to the day when Windy would leave them, a bridegroom, when they learned that the chances of a wedding in the near future were very slim. Today, we find a gloomy Robinson household just finishing breakfast. Windy himself, however, is suffering such delusions of grandeur over his position as contact manager for Mr. Jason that Miss Timmons' indifference fails to dampen his spirit.
Yes, sir. When old Jay sees this report, he'll probably want to drop everything and come down here to consult me on some of these construction ideas. Revolutionary, that's what they are.
Yeah, I'll bet they're revolutionary. So revolutionary that if Jason were silly enough to submit them to his engineer, the poor fellow'd have to spend years in a sanitarium to get over the shock.
Why, Luke, you don't even know what my plans are yet. How can you...
And I'd rather not know for my own peace of mind. I'm going.
I believe I'll walk down with you and get this in the early mail.
I'm in a hurry. I can't wait.
Why, of course, Bill. That'll be fine. Luke always says he hates that walk downtown alone.
Why, Myra Robinson, I never said...
You go and get your hat, Bill. Luke will wait for you at the door.
Won't be a minute. Want to tell you all about the plan.
Now, what did you do that for, Myra?
So you'd have a chance to talk him into apologizing to Miss Timmons and smooth the way to their getting married.
But how can I get him to apologize when I don't even know why she's mad at him?
Oh, Luke, discuss it with him. Talk it over man to man.
Listen to his silly love quarrels as well as his silly construction ideas.
Well, of course, if you want him here the rest of your life. And remember, you were going to make a study out of his room.
Well, I thought you were determined to make a sewing room out of it.
Well, I don't care what we do with the room, so long as he isn't in it.
Well, there's a great deal in that, I suppose.
Ready, Lukey?
Yes, come on. Bye, dear.
Goodbye. And don't look like a martyr.
Now, about these plans of mine. First, I'm going...
Now, let's not discuss the plans. It's much too early to think of that kind of thing. Let's talk about, Miss Timmons, for instance.
Letitia?
Mm-hmm.
But what's she got to do with it?
Now, there's a woman for whom I have the greatest regard. Poor, brave soul, making her own way alone in the world.
Yes, yes, a fine little woman. But now about my idea.
And then, suddenly, into her lonely life, there appears a man. A man upon whom all her dreams, her fondest hopes are centered.
Yes, that's me.
Yes, that's you. And what happened? He breaks her heart. He crushes her beneath his selfish heel.
Why, Luke, I did no such thing. I've told you I asked her to marry me, and I'll get her to say yes, too.
But I thought she was angry with you. Didn't you have a quarrel?
Well, not exactly. She just went off in a huff because I guess I didn't pay much attention to her. My mind is so full of this factory.
Just as I thought. You did break her heart. Probably those lovely eyes are filled with tears at this moment. And you haven't even called her up to apologize.
Well, of course, I suppose she does feel pretty deeply about me, but she can't expect me to play up to her tantrums.
Oh, then you're not going to apologize?
Well, it'd be bad policy, Luke. She'd get the idea that I'm not masterful. Don't worry, she won't stay mad with me long.
Very well. I wash my hands of the whole matter, study or no study.
Study, Luke?
Yes, study, or sewing room, or whatever it would have been. I'm through.
Sewing room? Study? Are you sure you're feeling all right, Lou?
I feel fine. This is where I leave you.
Don't go in yet. I thought you might like to run over to the factory with me and see how they're getting on with the construction. Have to keep track of the work, you know.
Well, I suppose I ought to go over to keep you out of the way, but I have a paper to get out, so I think I'll deny myself that pleasure.
Funny. Old Luke seemed to be annoyed about something. Oh, well...
Come on, come on. The whistle hasn't blown yet. Get a move on here, you guys. Hey, Joe, tell Charlie to move that shovel over here.
Okay.
Hey, who's that old guy hanging around there?
I don't know, boss. He's been around all morning.
Well, tell him to move off the property. He'd be falling in the hole and suing the company soon.
Okay.
Never mind, I'll do it. It'll take you all day. Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, you. Come here.
You, come here.
Oh, smart guy, huh? I'll come there, all right. Now, listen, mister. This is private property, and...
My good man, are you in charge here?
You bet I am. And as foreman of this job, I'm asking you once to get. Hey, what's that you got there?
Your blueprints. I was just considering...
You got my blueprints? Well, what the... You think you're doing with them?
Looking at them. And in my opinion, you've got that steam shovel working too close to the marshes over there. Say, couldn't you have that man stop making so much noise?
Oh, is that so? My steam shovel is too far over, eh? And me men working annoys you. Well, now, isn't that just too bad?
You want me to quit hammering, boss?
You'll quit hammering, you're fired.
Hey, but boss, the whistle blew.
All right. Now you, what are you doing with my blueprint?
Yeah, we've been over that already. You know who I am?
No, and I don't...
I am an officer in the Jason Shoe Company, Incorporated. Contact manager, in fact.
I never heard of you.
Mr. Jason has asked me to keep an eye on the work, and I feel sure that you'll welcome some suggestion.
I got no orders about contact managers, and I don't welcome suggestions on me lunch hour. You get that?
Well, of course not. Not on your lunch hour. I can see that the lunch hour would not be suitable. Or perhaps you lunch with me and we could get acquainted. We'll be working together and...
Well, that's better. If you want to act reasonable, Kim Riley's not the man to hold a grudge. You got your pail with you?
Pail? Oh, lunch pail. No, I thought we could go to the Antler Hotel.
Oh, sure. If you can wait till I change into me tux. Now, listen. I've been eating my lunch out of this pail for 20 years, and I'm not changing now. Have a sandwich?
Thanks. That's very kind. Well, you see, Riley, now my idea on this job is to do something out of the ordinary in this construction. Try out some experiments I have in mind.
Listen, mister. Do you know anything about the construction business?
Well, no, but I thought that looking at it from the outsider's viewpoint, as twere, I could contribute some new ideas. After all, you fellas have been building factories for so long, you've gotten conservative in your ideas. Why, you need freshening up. This is the year of experiments, you know, of trying new things.
Don't I know it? And I was saying to Nora no later than last night, I never see such times for stirring up things and trying one thing and then another. It beats all.
But you agree the change and new ideas are a good thing?
Well, now, here's the way I look at it. I'm just an ordinary kind of a fella, and I don't have no say in how things are run, but I've been looking around and noticing for a lot of years. Hey, you ever done any manufacturing?
No, but I probably could if I put my mind on it.
Yeah, you could. Not in a million years. That's just the trouble. We got contact managers thinking they can build factories, and professors running business, and a pack of young smart-aleck lawyers trying to run the whole government. There's only one thing those people can do to help business recovery. And that's the same thing a blacksmith would do if you took your watch to him to be repaired. He'd leave it alone. And the thing we're interested in is in reemployment, isn't it? It's the same old story. There never was a forced reform in this world that didn't end up in a deform.
Do you actually mean you like the existing system? To have to work as hard as you do for the little you get, and at the same time have a class of idle rich going...
Yeah, I know all about that. And I've heard that gag about restoring recovery by soaking the rich, too. And it must be a gag. Nobody would seriously propose to restore life to business by knocking the daylights out of it.
Well, we don't know, of course, just what would happen if we soaked the rich, but it'd be nice to try.
You can make a darn good guess what would happen. If it would work now, it would work, say, well, 30 years ago, wouldn't it?
Well, I suppose so, since fundamental laws haven't changed any.
Okay. Now, let's say it's 30 years ago, and say we got all the automobile manufacturers right here.
Yes?
All right, we soak them. And what happens? They can't build the millions of cars we use today because we took all the money off them they were going to build them with. They can't hire the millions of people they hired for years because they got no money to hire them with. And all the business that depend on the automobile factories won't be here because there ain't no automobiles.
Well, I'm afraid you have too practical a mind.
Listen, brother, I got four kids and I gotta be practical. I don't like to see my job and those kids' future played around with. And I want to know they got a chance to grow up and earn a respectable living like their father's done. I don't want them to be no charity patients. And I don't want them to be paying through the nose for the rest of their lives for a lot of experimenting that was done in their father's time. Well, there she blows. I've got to be doing what some of those reformers ought to be doing. hitching up me trousers and going to work.
Oh, but say, look here now. You haven't heard about my suggestions yet.
Save your breath, brother. I've been trying to tell you in a nice way not to interfere with me business. And I wouldn't interfere with yours, whatever it is. And if I was you, I'd move along. You know, you're liable to get hurt around here.
But I tell you, I'm the contact manager. You can't do this to me, putting me off the place.
Oh, listen. I got work to do. Are you going peaceable or not?
I won't be intimidated. My duty is here, and here I stay. And I warn you that Mr. Jason will hear of this. Perhaps you're not aware of my influence with Mr. Jason. Perhaps you're not aware of that. As an officer of this company, that I can get you fired. I've been patient with you long enough.
I just think I wasted all my breath talking to you as if you was a reasonable guy. All right, stay here then. But give me back my blueprint and keep out of my hair or I'll throw you out of here.
Well, here's your blueprints. I've decided to change the plans anyway. And we'll see who gives the orders around here. Here, my man. You, come here.
What do you want?
I want you to start clearing the other end of this place.
Well, I'll be... Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, boss.
You're pretty good with that steam shovel, ain't you?
Sure. I'm the best in the business.
Well, how good?
Well, I can pick up a dime with it and not leave a mark on it.
Okay. Now, here's your chance to prove it. You see that old guy over there talking to Joe?
Sure. You want me to pick his pocket with this baby?
No, but he's in me way, and I don't want you to throw him out, see? But if you could just ease up kind of behind him, careless-like, and heist him up a little on that shovel, he'd get scared and go home. But I don't want him hurt any.
That's his cinch. Leave it to me. What do you want me to pick him up?
In the easiest place. You got a good chance now while he's arguing with Joe.
Okay. I can just about reach him here, and I'll bet you a dollar I can do it without tearing his clothes.
All right, so bet. I'll signal Joe not to let on what's happened. The old guy's got his back turned now. Go ahead. Okay, Charlie. You got his range now. Heist him.
Let go! Help! Help! Stop me! Help! Help! Help!
What? Hey, what's the trouble here? Oh. Hey, what are you doing playing around my steam shovel?
I didn't do it. Get me down! Get me down! Help!
Hey, Charlie, let this guy down.
I might have been killed.
Yeah, now will you please tell me, mister, what the idea is?
I may be hurt.
You're not hurt. You're just scared. You oughtn't to be playing around like that.
Playing around? Playing? Why, your man did that to me. He did it deliberately. I'll complain. I'll sue.
Why, Mr. Winkle, was it? I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, you didn't do that on purpose, did you, Charlie?
Oh, me? I don't like games.
And Joe here, he's a witness. Listen, did Charlie do that on purpose, Joe?
Charlie? Why, no, boss. No, not Charlie.
Well, you see, Mr. Winkle, it was just a little accident.
Well, I refuse to be made a laughingstock. I'll have this matter investigated in a few days.
Oh, he do run beautifully, don't he, Joe?
You said it.
It takes a steam shovel to teach Wendy not to interfere in other people's business. And he has more than met his match in Riley the Philosopher Foreman. Poor Wendy can't seem to get other people to share his high opinion of himself. He's in for another rude shock, I'm afraid, if he expects Miss Timmons to call him up and renew the romance. Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. These programs are written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced under the auspices of the National Industrial Council.